Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show. What the hell? Stupid. That's the problem where iTunes just kills me. The show that sucks continuous. You know what it is? Because iTunes, if you don't stop it, you know this with iTunes.
Yes, yes.
And I was doing too many things.
It happens, believe me, when I'm on stage with Rotko, I run all the samples on iTunes.
Oh.
And I got to catch it sometime. It never happened live, but it happened in rehearsal, and Joe Kimi would just lay it. What are you doing? Shut up.
It's like, I didn't mean it to
anyway,
it. Calm down.
Let's get back to this.
Okay.
Yeah, so you were listening to Davin's Den, the show that is better than serving grape soda at a Donald Sterling dinner party. I switched it up.
Very nice.
Not what I originally had.
You will never see grape soda.
No.
We actually, in honor of Donald Sterling and his enlightened view, we tonight are in the den are actually drinking some grape soda, Fanta. It is out of a brown paper bag, and I have poured some off for the owners that can no longer be here. Sorry, Donald Sterling.
Spilling some for our homies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know he's big with the homies, at least screwing them. Anyway, or the homettes, if you will.
Yes.
I don't want blacks at my basketball games. Yeah, because the African-Americans really don't follow basketball.
No, you know.
An idiot.
I don't want blacks in my stadium, but I do want my schmeckle in their vagina.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. You know what? If you were that conscious about it, why don't you just buy a hockey team to ensure
yeah, really?
Show up?
Really?
Could you? I want to get to the intro, but can you imagine, like, he just, like, finished going down on her, and then he espouses his views on blacks and Mexicans?
Well, that's what I was saying to you earlier. It's like, how can you be a woman of color and be with this guy when you know that he hates people?
Well, because she is a woman of color. Green. Anyway,
yes.
We move on.
Yeah.
The number to call in, 845- 986-8804, 845-986-8804. You can join the chat room. We affectionately call the Den Pen by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window. Don't use Internet Explorer, I'm told, because they're having issues. So use one of your other browsers. Type in davincomedy.com. Go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom. Click on that and then click chat and go. And you're in. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. And everybody's here. Joe Curry.
Good evening.
Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
We got a big show tonight. We will play In the Barrel with Joe and Pip.
Oh, God.
This is going to be good. We have somebody who's never played the game before.
Never played before. I'm usually serving.
Versus somebody who's never won the game before.
Oh, man.
So this should be a good competition here. We're looking.
Be gentle.
I have done that.
Be
me.
Gentle with the judging.
No.
Men have died.
No. Men have died. Stories were written. Scores were kept.
Rules.
Yes. Also, we're going to be checking in on our African girlfriends, so strap in because we got some twists and turns tonight.
I can't wait for my stories.
There was a lot of good twists and turns last week.
Yeah.
Seen nothing yet.
Really?
You ain't seen nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I never know anymore until I actually go over and do the show prep. I'm like, I forgot this happened.
I got to tell you, that was a lot of, if it's twisty and turnier than last week, I'm stoked because it was pretty, I was even thinking about it on the way home. You know, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't know.
I can't imagine what's going to happen.
We love what we do.
We do.
Yeah.
Even if nobody else does.
Yeah.
But as long as we love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny.
The passion. The feeling. The passion.
Have you ever had I'm only talking about this because you wanted me to, and Joe looks forward to this. Have you ever, like, had a moment where you were, like, so depressed that you wanted to cry?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't have those moments.
Never.
I had one last night, but we'll get to that.
Really?
Couldn't get it up, could you?
No, I got a text.
We'll
get there.
Right? This is going to be a very special Davin's
Den. It's going to blend into each other.
Oh, my God, everybody.
I guess there's another friend that's blocked on Joe's Facebook
no,
page.
No, not blocked. It's the correspondence we were discussing.
Oh, no.
Do you want me to write? I've done a lot for Dick Eldorado.
No, thank you.
I just went up and got a box of tissues before the show just because I always have issues with my allergies. But I think it's going to be more than that.
You wanted to cry?
On Thursday, man, I was so depressed. I actually thought about it. I was driving back from the post office, which will make anybody cry. But I was driving.
Usually nice people go postal.
Yeah, really.
I was actually thinking of driving my car into a tree, but I did not.
Wow.
But, you know, I got a wife and kids, so it's kind of selfish.
Yeah.
But I'm just.
You should have called me.
Yeah, to finish it.
Hold on. Hold on. Around the gate.
Hold on. Let me cut the brakes. I'll be right over.
You missed. Let me slam. Let me back it up.
What the hell happened to you?
Nothing. It's just a buildup of all this. This, as much as we love doing this, and Tuesday, I believe, was one of our best shows.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I didn't listen back to it because why would I? But, like, if I was going to, like, say, well, here's a demo show, I would say Tuesday because it had a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So we had the high of the Tuesday.
Right.
And I still love doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is why I'm here doing this, you know. The three of us have never gotten along better as a unit than we are
right,
now.
Right, correct.
Right.
You know, right, right. And we had a lot. Yeah, there was bumps in the road, this, that, and the other thing. Everything got squared away. We got in our own groove. And we're running on all cylinders now, man, and it's fun.
It's just everything else that comes with this. People usually like me because I try to be optimistic. I try not to, like in comedy, I try not to be jealous of
right.
what other people. No matter what I personally think of them or their act, I try not to be one of the people.
You can't be. You have to be that way.
No, I'm not.
Because this, and one of the first things I told when I was started. And this business is not fair. Some people with less talent will be moved up, but that's the way the business
but
is.
But I've always combated that by worrying about myself.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's always been my mantra as well.
So, like, instead of worrying about what Comic X is doing or what's going on, you know, I've always focused on myself.
Yeah.
You've always been really supportive of your friends' endeavors.
I've tried.
You are.
But now I'm just, like, finding with this radio thing, because I'm just so frustrated with everything.
Yeah.
With the... lack of attention,
yeah.
I guess. The lack of reward to more exposure,
mm-hmm.
Lack of financial reward, the amount of investment that's been into it. I'm just, like, jealous of people now, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, just, like, it's not really – I've always been able to fight that, and I'm – it's – if I didn't, like, do – here's what's keeping me going. Because I asked my wife today – or not today. I asked her, you know, what she would think if I would quit or anything. You know, she's cool with it. She's cool with me being a house husband, which, you know, I've never really been. Back when, a couple years ago, when everybody was out of work,
yeah.
I was still working.
Right.
I was always able to bring home money with the comedy and everything. But because of this radio show, my, and also what's happened in the comedy club landscape as well, I don't work as much as I used to work.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't work that much because I put all, I mean, for 3+ hours a week, I spend the better part of a week. Like, for instance, I put together the shows on Friday and Pippa sent me a bunch of things, but for this reason or that reason, I didn't want to use this or that, or it didn't get into the show. So I spent like a whole day coming up with what we're going to talk about and everything. And then I'll spend like days trying to market us and everything. Like today, I spoke to Don. He go, well, you know, what would you think if I just quit? If I just quit this,
right?
And he's like, well, you know, professionally, you know, it's fine because you know I've done work and you paid me for all the work I've done, but mm-hmm. you know. Otherwise, he'd be disappointed. And, you know, this is the truth. I told you, I just didn't want to do the shit on the air, but you insisted. But, you know, but I mean, here's what I think. I like doing it. And you guys have sacrificed a lot. Not as much as I have, but you guys have sacrificed a lot, and I'm very appreciative of that. So and I feel like you guys are depending on me to make this happen. And I do know we have helped people with the scamming thing. Because, you know, I know people have reached out to me, whether they said they've learned a lot or we've made them laugh. So we got that going for us, which I like, but it's just, you know, I really can't get any traction. You know, let's be honest. That thing with Avalos at the end of November last year,
yeah,
that was a big deal. But I fucked that up. I made the wrong decision in personnel. I fucked that up.
I don't know. I don't think that's something that you can take on yourself. 2020 hindsight.
2020.
Yeah.
Funny you should mention that.
funny
on 2020.
Well, you know, you can always look back and say, oh, I shouldn't have picked them, or, you know, why did I believe in them? But, you know, it can only work with the information that you have at the time, is what my therapist has told me. Stop second guessing yourself because you can't go back in time and say, I would have done this, because you have the benefit of what you know now.
And you want to know something? If you nobody ever sat somewhere and said, okay, this is going to be the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Now, yeah.
I've done plenty of stupid things.
We like to keep track of them on the show.
I understand that. And a lot of them have been done on with my thought out. With the you know, we'll bring one occasion up in a little bit, but thought out with the best reasoning and the best, you know, assessment of the situation. A lot of things I've done was done surely on passion, which, looking back, I'm kind of glad I did, because I, you know, it's something that if I'd never done, I would have taken it to the grave.
Right.
You know, so you do, you know, and with the time thing, I mean, I sit
And I've got, with everything we have to do with the show, now my play, we might have to be doing a teaser. We might be entering this thing on ABC for a script contest.
Oh, good.
And now I got to get the film crew together. Now I'm sitting in my house. Now my house looks like I haven't done yard work because of the show around my house for about a year.
Has nothing to do with your rehearsals and drinking.
Well.
It's just the show. Oh. Okay, Joe.
You know, let me have a retraction. All right, the show and the drinking and the rehearsals, because lately it's been kind of crazy because the band, Mr. Potato Head, our cover band, is in rehearsals for the next week or so. And then Race Odyssey starts. Yeah, but I sit there and I thought about last week just for a minute. Not killing myself. Well, I've thought about that on many occasions, believe me. But I thought about, like, I need to take a break. I need to take a break, but I can't. You can't take a break.
It's like, what do you?
Do you
want to
put this on hiatus?
No, no. And let me tell you.
It is softball season. They have games on Tuesday nights.
But but let me tell you something. Just as much as this business will drive you nuts, the only thing that keeps me from jumping in the car and driving off into the sunset and nobody knows where I went or where I went is this business. That it is manic and crazy as it is, it's the only sanity in my life. It's like the
that is scary,
but it is. It's like one of my buddies at my home club kind of gets anxiety attacks when he goes on, and I told him one night, I go, because he always does a great job. I go, will you calm down? I go, this is our sanity. This is where we come for the sanity in our life.
I'm the opposite. This is not my sanity.
No,
this is not. This is high stress, high effort, little result. You know, we've been at this like 3 years.
That seems incredible.
I know that somebody would put up with this nonsense for that long. But, I mean, you know, Joe joined me in June of 2011. And then we brought you on a few months later.
Wow.
Joe joined me. Yeah. So, I mean, we've been at this. I know at the time it wasn't weekly. I mean, it started weekly. And then we were at the compound. It wasn't weekly. It was, you know, whenever he wasn't.
Whimsy.
It was whimsy. Yes, it went from weekly to whimsy. Very good, Joe.
Was floozy. Yeah. Oh, no, not floozy.
But, yeah, we've been at this 3 years. It's kind of frustrating, I got to be honest with you. I don't know. And I'm at the point with, like, the same where I am with my comedy career. I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just like, now there is something that might happen for us in a few weeks that could potentially, Joe doesn't know yet, I told you, that, and I'll tell you off the air, Joe, that could potentially be good. But again, I try not to get up and down.
But that's the thing with this business. I mean, that's the way this business works. I mean, 2 years ago, I signed a record deal. I was going on the road, I was doing this, and this was it, and it didn't pan out. But the thing about it is that everybody in this business has projects that they work hard at. It's going to make it, it's going to, and they don't, but you dig it, you do it. And it's what we do. There's no turning back. I'm sorry, there's no turning back.
There is turning back, Joe.
At least point in my life, I'm at the point of no return.
Well,
I mean, just
for
everything.
I kind of feel that. See, like with the show, I kind of feel that. I was like, God, I've pretty much screwed my comedy career. I really have. Because I just don't work the way I used to work. I mean, I used to all the hours I put into writing this crap, which this is not part of the show, what we're talking about right now.
Right.
Is hours I used to be hustling for my company or hustling for my own personal career.
Right.
I no longer do that. I'm hustling for us. So it's just, you know, you guys want to do it. We'll do it. I know we do help some people, which is a reason to do it. But I got to be honest. It's like I don't get numbers. I don't know who, and like I hear numbers from other places and other shows, and they got all these great numbers and everything, and it's frustrating.
Oh, I know. Like, who you're telling me?
I'll tell you something. Now, I was on the show, and I left the show, all right? And with the show going and everything, it eats at you that you're not doing the show.
Yeah.
It eats at you that we're not doing the gig.
But you don't understand this. They don't even want me to do the show with you guys, and I know they're wrong. Because I know what I hear, and I know what the fans hear, but I don't have enough opinions of other high-ranking people to go, you're wrong. So it's like, it's like, not only do I have to fight for us as a unit to get where we go, I have to fight when the few times I do get any feedback from anybody, which is not very often, I got to fight with them because they don't know what I'm like. You don't know what you're listening to.
But that's with everybody in anything. How many bands have you have been told? Well, you know this, that, and the other. And they told them to go to hell. Or a lot of people. You hear stories about that. Well
the Beatles got rid of the drummer, didn't they?
No, but still, it's a lot of things where people have been wrong. Everybody's got their. You know, everybody's got
right.
Their,
but they might be wrong, and even if they are wrong, it doesn't change. It might not change anything for us. Mm. Do you really want to do this in my basement for another 5 years? I mean, it's fun, but the hours of prep that we do
for another 5 years? No, not for five more years. No,
but I mean, think about all the hours that we put into this.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a lot.
I don't know. So that's what I was thinking.
I have to put two things in there here in the pen. Lisa says I would be lost without all of you, especially you, Davin.
Oh, I thank you.
And Mother Shucker says, you know, bouncing back to what Joe said. Yeah, and when you're on the verge of your band breaking big, the lead singer moves to Boston for a radio gig.
Yeah, that's a kick.
That was another one. And let me tell you something. My guitar player Rex never got over it.
Yeah,
and he when the band got reunion shows, he didn't want to do it. Anthony, dude, it's been 14, 15 years. Deal with it. You know.
No, but you know, I can understand why he's upset because you know he was sacrificing a lot of things. I mean, yeah. Nobody expects you're going to get that
we
type
all,
of
we all were, but when it happened to Anthony, you know, he was asking, should I do it? And I told him, yeah, because the door doesn't swing
he
open.
He had to
often.
Do it.
You had to. Yeah. You had to. I told him, if you said no, I'd never have respect for you as a you're my friend, but as an artist, as another entertainer, I'd have no respect for you anymore.
Yeah, it's like you're
you
really
would have gotten
to
over it. He still has beer. You would have been fine.
No, because we all work hard for when the door swings open.
And
if the door swings, you're not going to run through.
If somebody gets the opportunity, you got to go. Well, that's what I've always said to you, Davin, is if you got the opportunity, and you know, I would really like Joe to be able to have the opportunity with you. If I end up being Pete Best, no hard feelings.
Yeah, Pip Best.
I want to see you guys succeed.
But hey, I went to the did Unmask with Opie and Anthony 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, even that pissed me off.
Why?
For no good reason. Exactly.
But the thing about it is those guys were had their backs against the wall so many times where they were trying to split
them
up.
You know why it pissed me off? And I know it's illogical to be pissed off about it, but you know why I'm pissed off about it.
Hey, I got a front row seat to all this. I've got two friends. I got two friends that are very successful that I sat and told the same dumb joke. If I let it bother me, I'd be drunk.
Try again, Joe.
All
the time. On the couch.
All the time. I would really, and sometimes it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, it's like when I walk into Governor's, it's like I there's a picture of Opie and Anthony with all the comics they have in the back wall in the green room, and there's a picture of Adam Ferrara and stuff like that. So it's like I told Adam one time, I go, sometimes it gets frustrating, you know, because I have to walk past your picture, and I have to walk past Anthony and Opie's picture, and then Adam looks at me and goes, and I have to walk past Kevin's. That's the way the business runs. So, you know, Kevin James's. So
here's the difference between Kevin and Adam and Dennis Leary. They help their friends. Kevin James is great at helping his friends.
Really?
You know, that's why all these guys are in the movie Mall Cop 2, you know?
That's true.
You know, that's why Adam Sandler helped his friends and everything.
Yeah.
And I, with my modicum of success, and it's very small.
You help your friends.
I try to help my friends. So I'm pissed off. And that's why I saw that, and I was pissed off. And there's no reason to be pissed off.
And the thing about it, here's the deal. In my inner circle, my close circle of friends, there's always been an unwritten thing. We all wanted to make it together. Joe Cumia, Anthony, Adam Ferrara, when we all hung out, we all wanted to do this together and stuff like that. And when it got to the point where it looked like it wasn't going to happen, when Adam started doing stand-up and Take It Off, then we had Rotgut, me, Joe, and Anthony, and we worked hard at that. Anthony got the radio gig. He runs off. Now it's, you know, Joe is doing his musical thing with his, you know, thing, and I've got all my stuff. And it got to the point where it was every man for himself. That's almost like a moniker we have. Every man for himself. If we can help, if Adam wants to, you know, throws me an opening spot at Westbury Music Fair, cool. If Anthony could do, you know, once in a blue moon, do this. But basically, in our inner circle, it's been every man for themselves.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. And ever since we've, you know, we run with that,
I get it, but I don't get it. Like, I understand that that's the code, but at the same time, I could never do that.
Well, what the thing is when you get to when you have your own thing and you get to a certain level, everybody thinks that you sit there and have fans and stuff like that, you know, like on the, you know, like in the slave thing.
Oh, like somebody fanning you and peeling you a grape.
Feeding you grapes and stuff like that. You are under so much pressure by a network, by a radio station, by this, to do what you got to do. You are so, and I see it with Adam, I see it with Anthony. that you're so up to your ass with your own problems, trying to cut a deal here. They're going to bust your balls about, well, why can't we do that? But the last thing they have time to do is worry about what I'm doing. They don't have the time. There's behind-the-scenes stuff that I hear these guys talk about that is it's the bullshit, Davin. It's the same thing on a minor level. It's the bullshit that they have to go through on a bigger league level, and they don't. They're so encompassed with that, trying to get ahead themselves, that they don't have time to just sit there. Joe Curry, come on, I'll take it in my way.
Well,
however, if the sun shines and they get a breather and they see that break, they'll do it. But it's the same.
We know that's not exactly the case that happened with us.
Well, but the thing is, when I saw them making a pump, okay, with Aerosmith, okay. It's the same. Aerosmith is sitting there, and I know you saw that. Aerosmith is sitting
there. I have it on VHS. We can watch it now.
Right. And you know bands. Your husband plays in a band.
Yep.
It's the same exact stuff they're arguing and fighting about as a regular garage band fights about.
Yes, that's true.
They're fighting about. It's the same nonsense we fought about on Wednesday night at rehearsal, but it's on a bigger level.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You go up the ladder, but the stuff stays the same.
Then how are some of these guys who've made able to help out their friends and pick them up?
Maybe better relationship. Maybe they have a different relationship. Maybe better marketing. That's the
no. They just said I remember these guys. These were my running guys before I got this break. So maybe I made it myself. Maybe somebody gave it to me.
Right.
And I'm going to reach down and help some people up. That's how I would do it. How often do I take you with me to get you in with like new people?
I understand that. There's a different thing. But we started together. We were in the trenches together. And I never would.
You started before me. We didn't start together.
Well, we started around the same. I mean, not together together. I mean, we met when we were about maybe 2 or 3 years in, each of us. All right. And we've been through hell and back together. And I've been through hell and back with bands.
Yeah.
And Anthony understands. On the comedy end, he's never really come to see me and stuff like that. You know, my relationship with Adam is different because we didn't start together, but he knows what it's like to be in the trenches. So if there's something he could do, I mean, if he could get decent money, he told me and my buddy Matt Burke, he goes, if I could put a tour together and get decent money for you guys, I'd bring you out on the road. He goes, it's going to be lousy money. I'm not taking the two of you out and giving you bullshit money. He goes, but if there's a tour where, you know, that I can go out and make decent money for all of us, we're going. You know, so it's an opportunity thing, you know.
In our case, it wasn't even that we were asking for. We weren't asking for anybody to give us a slot. We asked for a meeting, Joe. That's what we asked to come in on the show. We weren't asking anybody to give us 1 to 4 in the afternoon or something.
I know, dude, but I've spent a lot of my time I've spent doing stuff on my own laurels. Not that it would have been nice.
And the fact is, if we would have landed a spot, it would have been on your own laurels.
Because
nobody's giving us a spot.
I understand.
Just because you're a friend of this
but
guy.
The way everything works at the satellite radios, it's just they'll tell stories that'll just boggle you more.
Oh, listen, I know.
They're surprised they're even there.
It's madness, but it's hard. This goes back to the jealousy. I listen to what is on now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the shit is not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I loved ONA years ago and everything, but I think, first of all, when you go to satellite, you become less relevant. It's just what it is, because you're not, unless you're syndicated in all the major networks. That's how you. That's why Rush Limbaugh still makes headlines sometimes, because he's syndicated.
Yeah,
but you know, not all. But these shows, they're not relevant. They're not fresh. And I listen to what we're doing, and I might be jaded. I like the shit
we do.
Here's
the deal with what they do and what we do. Basically, the lines have been drawn on regular, on satellite radio and on regular radio, what you can do or not.
Well,
the problem is,
I'm just talking about in general.
I know.
Talk radio, most of the stuff that's out there, whether it's a wacky morning zoo,
right,
where they're not really taking chances. I know they can't take chances a lot of times.
No, they can't.
But even the talk radio, it's either, for the most part, it's sports or politics.
Yes.
And the other stuff, and we've talked about this, there's reasons why they can and can't do certain things, and not just them, just the industry. Stuff's not relevant. It's boring as hell. And I'm not saying they're boring as hell, but I'm just saying a lot of the stuff that's out there, and I know what we do, I know there's nothing out there like us. I just want a chance. Whatever. That's why I've been in a funk.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fortunately, there were softball this Sunday.
Is that what kept you away from the tray, though?
No.
So what happened?
Was there a duck in the road?
No. Although
duck in the road.
He swerved.
He's not an acid.
Get in at the tray.
No, it's just weird, though. I've never had that feeling where I just wanted to cry. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, teenagers, you got all those hormones going and everything. And you're like crazy.
Yes.
And like, you know, if there's something that happens in your life, that makes sense that you just want to cry. You have a good cry or
but
whatever.
But you never had it come over you, like when you're just thinking about things that are getting
it's
down
not
and stuff?
It's not really me. I'm way too insensitive for that.
Look, my God. My life is like a runaway train. You know, it really
Let
is.
Let me find that soul asylum song.
And it just, you know what, but it is what it is. And sometimes it gets very fret. Believe me, I've felt that way too. What am I doing? I'm watching all these guys move up and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm working.
So do you guys want to keep doing this?
Why not?
Well, what do you mean? Like next week?
No, I don't mean like next week. I mean, are we fighting the good fight? I mean, really, at some point.
I tell you what. Let's do this. Let's all grab each other, and we're going to roll up in a ball right on the floor. And we're going to hold ourselves in a ball till it all goes away. You don't give up. You fight, and you figure it out.
Isn't that what they did in Arkansas with the tornadoes?
Yeah, well, that's a tornado. But you figure it out. This is the toughest business there is. Look, if you want to go, we'll turn the mics off. We'll be landscapers. We can pick up 12 lawns by tomorrow.
I'm not Mexican enough for that.
Easy peasy. You want easy? This is.
I want easy.
Get a tan.
Yeah, you picked the wrong business then.
Yeah, I certainly did.
20 years as a comic?
No. No.
15 years ago?
Like 17 or so.
All right, 17. We did start together. We didn't start together, but we started 17 years as a kid.
What?
Mother Chucker. Shucker said, circle jerk.
Yeah.
That's not the all kind right, of ball.
Let me get the green screen.
Like but Wait a minute. I have nothing to jerk.
Well, there's two of us. We've got two hands.
All right.
But this is the business. This is it.
All right.
And you deal with nonsense in the front, you know.
I'm dealing with the business nonsense of the shit. I'm sending out damn emails.
But it's like everything else.
I know it. It sucks. I'm tired of it sucking.
The best part of it is when you're on stage or when you're on mic. The rest of it is with
but
nonsense.
Then I have gigs like Saturday Night where there's no good part.
Okay.
Well, this isn't like the silver lining around the edge, but if it makes any difference to you, I cried twice at work on Thursday on my day job. Jobs suck. It's hard.
Yeah, but at least you get paid for it.
Do you know?
Yes, I do, and I pay.
You are paying.
I pay.
At my day gig, I have a picture of me on my cubicle at Westbury Music Fair on stage in front of 1,000 people, and I have a little caption on it going, "Really?" I actually really.
I know. It's like, and then you're looking at around in your cubicle, and you're like,
I'll
this
be
is
on the
my
phone
life.
With someone. Give me a 20 MasterCard. Do how much price too high? And I'll just look at me on stage, and I'm like, really? Really? Really?
You're
really?
A rock star on the weekends.
Yeah.
So what's going on with you, Joe?
Well, we got Mr. Potato Head got together. We're looking forward to playing a gig.
That's not what I want to hear.
Oh.
No, okay. You alluded to that there was some type of news or something.
Last night, I get a text from Davin. And I'm running around doing...
Don't look so jealous. I'll send you text, too.
No. That's okay.
You don't want
Joe was fired. I locked the door, but he had the key.
He broke in.
Yes.
You can lift the door open again.
So I get a text, and I go, and I'm running around doing our stuff, and I'm trying to get things done. So I'm not thinking that clearly. And he goes, got the ticket from Arizona. What was it, $245?
$248.
So...
Joe and I went on tour.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he was talking about an airline ticket.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what I was, the way he phrased it. And there was this thing they're doing in Laughlin for...
Yeah, comedy
and
festival.
I thought maybe there was a miscommunication we had during the email. So I'm like, oh. And I'm like, what ticket? And he goes, the speeding ticket you got, stupid.
Oh, no.
I don't think I wrote stupid.
It's possible.
It was implied.
So it was
It was stupid understood.
Understood.
$248. So I go, $248. And he goes, well, don't forget you. And he goes, don't forget you also played that $40 to the rental company. I'm like, oh, thanks for reminding me. You made that much better.
What?
If there was a fist, I would have had my fist. Boots.
Why did you pay $40 to the rental?
There's a surcharge that the rental company charges you if you get a ticket.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Why do they care?
Because
it's their car.
Because the police have to contact the rental agency because it's their car and everything. You know, if we just would have put Joe as an extra driver.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have fought it or something.
There's no fight.
I mean, we could fight it, but like I could show it's not me,
right?
Because they say, well, you could send a license proof it's not you. Problem is, and the rental car company's gonna go to the rental car company and go. Well, what do you mean? You're still responsible because I'm still responsible,
right?
Yeah, it's a lose lose. So basically, what happened? What frustrates me the most, and some of you folks remember, we drove from Laughlin, Nevada, to pretty much the end of Arizona.
The other end
of Arizona, into New Mexico.
Eastern Arizona.
Right. So when we were planning the tour, I call Davin and I go, hey, look, man, I go, you know that it's going to be about 6 hours back to Vegas, almost 500 miles.
Wow.
And I go, why don't we try to go to Phoenix, which is only 2 hours away from where we're going to be, and turn the car into Phoenix instead of Vegas.
Right.
Davin looks into it and goes, it's going to be, what was it, $150?
$250.
Surcharge, right? So we said, all right. So Davin and I had a big conversation. We actually had it here.
I remember it.
And I said, look, I'm making this decision as we were standing in the parking lot of the place the night of the show.
Yes.
Let's pay, you know, we'll have, I say drive back to Vegas. When we were standing in the parking lot the night of the show, we said, ooh, that's a bad move. So basically we do the go, and a quick recap, we do the show, we get an hour's rest, we do the show.
Mm-hmm.
We get 2 hours rest after the show, and then we drive back to Vegas, 6 hours back to Vegas.
Uh-huh.
We're not in the car 5 minutes, and I'm driving down the road. And this flash of light comes out of the woods. I'm like, what the is that?
Yeah.
And he goes, it's a speed, one of those speeding ticket things. And I go, speeding ticket cameras? We don't have this in New York. I never saw this
before. Yeah, I never saw that either.
So he goes, yeah, but you're going to get a ticket. You know, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So
you have to post the picture, Devin.
You have to post the picture.
They took pictures.
Yeah.
And Joe was very big on pictures on that trip, so here's one more.
Here's one more. Expensive one of all.
Live by the camera, die by the camera, Joe.
So there is so basically the ticket was a $248 ticket plus a $40 surcharge. It would have been cheaper to drop the car off in Phoenix. My margin on the tour is gone. I think I'm in the red now.
I'm sure you are.
I'm in the red now. What can I say? I can't. What can I say?
56 and a 45.
That's crappy.
That's not even speeding.
That's
no.
That's the cost of doing business.
By New York standards, that's not speeding.
No. So what recourse do I have? I actually have none. I can't fight the ticket because it was under his name.
That's the problem. We can't fight it because he wasn't supposed to drive. Thank God he didn't get into an accident when he took the car to the Hoover Dam.
Yeah. You know, because basically, if you get a ticket like that in New York, you go, you petition it, you plead it, you know, blah, blah,
right.
Do that down the road, and you fight it that way. So, I can't fight it. I don't want to screw him up. So I gotta bite my lip and I gotta write the check. So you know what though? I look at it this way: the decision we, and this is when you talk about decisions you make, where you go, this is the stupidest thing I'm ever gonna do. When we made the decision to bring the car back to Vegas from the end of Arizona, it's not a honeymoon. It's a business trip. A road gig is a business trip. So I figured, all right, I'll bite the bullet. So you figure, all right, you'll deal with it. It's not a vacation.
Yeah.
You're on a road. So I figured, okay. Behind, you know, I never saw a speeding camera in my life. We don't have them here in New York.
No.
Don't have them in Jersey. Never saw one. I've
never seen that either.
Never saw
it. And it lit up the
It's scared,
oh, it scared
the
crap out of me.
Out of me. I should charge them. I should short them like $20 for a pack of new drawers. So you look at that. So you go, all right, it is what it is. It's not a mistake that you've done again and again and again.
No.
All right.
You
know, next time we do that tour, we drop the car off at Phoenix, and you know not to drive like Vin Diesel on the way back.
Again, it's 56 and a 45.
I know. It wasn't even excessive.
Yeah. But you know what? What are we going to do? I can't fight it because it's,
you can't fight it because you weren't supposed to be driving.
I wasn't supposed to be driving.
Right.
So they got me. What am I going to do? They got me.
Well, yes, they do. There's a picture of you.
Or for all to see now.
They blurred me out like I'm some type of hostage. Big circle over my head. And you just see stupid drive with his eyes closed.
Here's the
probably because he's just been blinded.
Yeah, it's like, ah! It's the underage boy he has in the car with him, blacked out.
I tell you, there was a trip when we turned back on to 40. I saw a sign for Albuquerque. Look at you, sleeper, and guess where we're going.
All right, so you alluded to something else happening that you wanted to, like, with Facebook or something? Didn't he allude to some major news, like with a female or something?
That's what I got. That was the impression I got. Oh. What are you talking about? You got it from Davin? I'm very disappointed.
No. I'm talking about the. No, I meant the text I got last night.
Okay.
I did get something from a friend of mine. She was a little. I grew up with a little girl, and she sends me a text, Facebook message, and she wants to get it. She, can you sign something? I'm like, what do you want me to sign?
A paternity test.
And I go, do you want? Well, you can sign some. And I thought it was like a scammer or something like that, but it's actually legit. I go, can I? And I don't know if she wants me to. I don't know what she wants me to sign, and I don't want to go, well, I'm an entertainer. I'll send you a hedge because I don't look like an asshole.
You can't help yourself.
So I go, could I send you a picture?
Yeah,
sure, send me that. Okay, good. She's a very sweet girl.
What'd she want a picture of?
Me or something that I signed or something like
really?
That. Yeah.
Well, I'll be getting one later, a check. I could send her a photocopy.
It was very nice girl. She was a little girl. She was like my little sister when we grew up. So,
but she's not a little girl anymore.
No,
she's an adult.
Yeah,
she still wants an autograph.
I guess she wants to. She wants me to sign. I'll send her a picture, I guess.
Okay. That's sweet, though.
Oh, it's very nice and very flattering. Yeah.
Sure, your wife don't feel that way, but
no, she wants.
She wants you to sign something.
She wants you to sign something.
Should we do a little commercially philosophy?
Yeah.
Sure.
You wondered about it.
Did you?
No.
You waited for it.
No, you didn't.
And now it's here. Curmudgeon Philosophy with Pip Helix.
Nailed it.
Talking right. About a girl again.
No.
No. Instead of catering to their customers, airlines now expect the customers to cater to them.
Is that really philosophy?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a man of cats.
How are we catering to the airline?
You had to remind the guy at the gate where we were going.
Well, I was just doing his job. It's not catering. I'm helping him do his job. It's not like I'm getting him a pillow.
Yeah.
It's not like he's getting me a pillow either for that.
No. It's
nobody's getting anybody pillows on this plane.
Yes, but where are we going again?
I'm here to help.
Yeah.
I'm the navigator.
Change the name from Southwest to South Anywhere.
South by Southwest. What an excellent idea.
Yeah, right. That's where we're going, according to the gate.
Listen, at least we got there. At least we didn't fly Malaysian Air.
Yeah. Well, I would have been better off. I wouldn't have to pay a $248 ticket.
You're on your own with that one.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Sorry, that was kind of sucked. But you know what I mean? It's like they expect you to do everything
now. I have something
now.
For that, Joe.
You shouldn't make fun of the plane going down like that.
I try. If it went down like that, they'd find you because it'd be in bits and pieces. I think it might be in the Arkansas wreckage at this point. The tornado. I think that's where they're hiding the plane.
You know what? That would be an excellent place to hide a broken plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amongst the wreckage?
Sure. Yeah. Except what are all these Malaysians doing with all these white people?
See, really, if you are a killer, this is an excellent time to bring out the bodies. Hide them under the wreckage of the tornado.
Yeah, but there's a lot of cameras around.
You think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's where they go. That's where all the news agencies go.
Yeah, I know, but at night.
Like, hey, look, this used to be a house. We'll stand here for a week.
Yeah, I know they tend to do that. Yeah. But it's like, can't you see? All right, bring the body, shove it under some debris, done.
Why would you do that instead of digging a hole where there's no cameras?
I guess.
And then you'd have to sit with a decaying body in your trunk looking at the weather report.
What the fuck? I'm a storm chaser.
And you act like you don't do
you see
that.
The storm chasers, then you see the mob trailing behind them.
Hey, Vinny, make a left.
You're going to lose them.
What's the matter with you? Go faster. The cloud. Where's the cloud? It was over here.
Hold on. Cut through that cornfield. Don't be a pussy.
Excuse me, Mrs. Smith. I'm very sorry about the unfortunate incident that happened to your home. If I could manage to hide a body under the foundation. Here's a 50 for your trouble and have a good day.
Cost of doing business.
Cost of doing business.
And you know they got some people out there because, you know, you relocate.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you look up, John Smith, wink, wink. Yeah. He used to help me out with some business. Yeah.
There were some things.
Some things.
But I agree with you on that, on the philosophy, because basically you have to check your bag. You have to weigh. I don't know if you know Southwest, but when I flew Northwest, I had to weigh my bag.
Yeah.
I had to check it.
But you're doing shit for yourself.
But they used to take the bag and throw it on there.
I mean,
we used to have to bring. Even
it sounds so nice when you say it like that. They used to throw it on there. Yeah. Now we could damage our own bags.
Well, you know, they used to have the gorilla throw the bag around.
But when we were at LaGuardia, we had to bring the thing over to the conveyor belt and give it to the guy.
Yeah,
I just don't see how we're catering to them.
We're doing all the work now. It's like,
well, it's the same thing at the supermarket. You self checkout.
I know. Everybody's
same thing
working.
In our sex lives. Everything's by ourselves. I'm catering to myself. There used to be a bunch of wenches to cater to me.
Yeah,
now I cater to myself.
But I know how to self cater. Thank God.
Well, because you do it better. The airlines are doing you a favor. They know you're better at losing your luggage than they are.
Look, you know, it's like you can't even get a ticket from them anymore. It's like we were talking about that. You print your tickets at home. You go to the e-ticket counter. You have to weigh your luggage.
That's what I'm
you
saying.
Have to
That's what I'm
package
saying
all your stuff up. Yeah, you can't even. They don't bring you snacks anymore. You got to bring your own crap on with you. Mm. You know, they don't bring. They don't do a lot of the stuff. You have to be thin enough for their tiny little seats.
The seats aren't that tiny. Really, Mothra?
They're uncomfortable now.
Yes, because they jam you in there.
They're jammed in. I'm short. My knees are not happy.
If you
happy.
Can keep yourself under 350 pounds, you'll be fine. I mean, let's be honest, all right?
Oh, no, but it's like you're right up against the person next to you.
You get there because there's a sense of community.
Oh, sense of community, my ass. You can shove the sense
yes,
of community.
Yes, your ass is on my shoulder,
yes.
My armrest.
Oh. No, it's on his arm.
Excuse me, ma'am. Your cheek is leaning on me.
I have pins and needles. Could you just move your cheek a little?
But you're smothering my kid.
You got a problem with that?
But you got to see him and Davin and I on a plane. Two dimwits. He's sitting there doing like the Woolly Bully dance to Aerosmith.
I'm not the Woolly Bully to Aerosmith.
That's
I'm listening
great.
To my
the Woolly Bully dance to Aerosmith.
Yes, like, it's a particularly you. Rocking song. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe it's Chip Away at the Stone.
Yeah. So Stupid's doing a really bully dance. The other imbecile is taking a picture of clouds out the window.
Clouds? More like a wing.
Yeah.
With a gremlin on
so
it.
What are you taking a picture of? Well, there's our luggage. It's not even our luggage.
There's our luggage.
Yeah, no, he's taking a picture of, like, the luggage thing outside.
I know, but
was I?
Yes, you are.
Do you not fly a lot?
No, I don't. Really.
Oh, that's why. Because the first couple times, it's like, look at all the activity on the tarmac. And then when you're done, when you fly out for a while, you're like, oh, my God, are we ever going to take off? We're roasting out
I haven't.
Tarmac.
I haven't.
Yes.
Right? I haven't flown. This was the first time I've flown since 2006.
Oh, wow. So you are kind of, you're re-virginized.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know, then it's kind of like exciting, but if you used to fly back in the day, it used to be that people would dress up to fly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now it's sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? Because you need ballroom.
But I was just going to say that, oh, my God, I was on this small plane and this guy had his legs jacked open like his balls were the size of watermelons.
Perhaps they were.
No, I don't think so.
But you got to wear durable clothes, like
clothes you
might have to survive. What if the plane goes down? Now you're in a sweatpants.
No, you got to wear clothes that you can wear for a couple of days because your luggage might not make it.
Oh, it's happened to me.
Yeah, right. And you have to have underwear stuffed into everything.
Oh, yeah.
I got no issue with flying suck. Yes, flying does suck. Yeah. I just don't think we're really helping them. I mean, it's not like, hey, let me clean the windows for
no,
you.
No, all right. Well, let's redefine that. The counter where you check in, where you get ticketed and stuff like that, I think we're doing it. Because that's stuff that used to be done. They used to take your bag. They used to take it. And you used to take your ticket. You hand it to them. Now you do everything yourself.
You still do that.
not as much. They do a lot less than they used
to.
They
do a lot less, and they offer a lot less. They offer smaller spaces. Of course, flying is more expensive. There are less things. Like, you used to get food. Nah, they're like, screw you and your food. Go get your own friggin' food. And, you know, it's... used to have, like, good
movies. Because I know I've missed those television dinners.
Oh, I know. It's not much, but it's just, like,
no,
you have
you're
to
right,
plan.
But...
And it used to be a nicer experience. Now you're jammed in this little... The spaces are getting tinier and tinier. You're in there. They will sit you on the tarmac, and you are a prisoner. If they decide to delay your flight, they won't let you out of there. And it gets to be, like, 120 degrees in that tin can. And they're just like, too bad.
Well,
we'll have air marshals come and arrest your ass to try to get out.
Maybe there's a bunch of fatties on the plane. And they don't want to charge you more for an extra seat, so they'll have you sweat out a few lbs.
What is this?
They're saving you money.
A fat farm and a flight.
Yes.
No,
it's
that,
fat
no,
camp
no.
in the air.
I don't want fat camp in the air.
Well, maybe if you were more embracing things, you would have a better experience and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
I
want to
get there in comfort. Is that too much to ask? Apparently
yes,
it is.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Just getting there. Look at the flight 370. They didn't even get that much.
Well, there's another thing. If I see, my friend was saying that she was getting ready to fly and it was this cold snap all of a sudden just a little while ago and they were de-icing the plane and then they had de-iced the plane again and then they did it again and meanwhile they're sitting on the tarmac in the plane watching them de-ice and de-ice. I'd be like, let me the fuck off this plane right now because this thing is going to plummet into the ocean.
Yeah.
Right? I would be like, let me out.
That de-icing thing. I never was on a plane that was being de-iced, but it's just like, you know, we're trying to hopefully do a good job so you can take off.
Yeah, really. It's like, can we just, like, park and, like, let us out so we can wait fend for ourselves? Really.
Can we just park at the other end of the terminal and wait for spring?
Lisa says, pay toilets are next.
That's been discussed.
I know, it has. Can you believe it?
Well, I just poop in my barf bag. You put it back there, let the flight crew clean it up.
Yeah. Why bother with that? You have pants. Just sit there in your own soil.
No, I don't want to sit there in my own soil. I'm a clean person. I will leave my soil for the next people.
Yes.
Well, Lisa says that's air travel in Canada. Oh, great. You sit there in your own soil. Lovely.
All right. Well, you know, fine. It is what it is.
I like the way they say soil, like I'm shitting peat moss.
You soiled yourself.
You soiled yourself. Is that peat moss coming down your legs? Yes, I soiled myself.
Well, that's disgusting.
Look, there's a couple
of shit.
Look, there's a couple
nothing
of daffodil
can grow
bulbs.
In that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of daffodil bulbs coming out. Yeah. That's lovely.
He's got a crocus in his ass. All right. So Georgia has a new gun law.
Yeah.
We haven't done a serious conversation in a while.
I'm sorry, you were suicidal earlier this evening.
Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't part of the script.
Yeah, we lighten it up.
Yeah, let's lighten it up.
We talked about putting moss in your pants. You're fine, people. Walk it off.
Walk it off.
So this is new gun law, and the leading state Democrats actually supported the law.
Crazy.
So this is known as Guns Anywhere laws. It allows guns in churches, airports. Hey, we were just talking about that. Yeah. Cater yourself, you bitch. Schools, government buildings, and bars. While the bill says no one is allowed to carry a firearm past the airport security screening checkpoint, it does allow them in other areas. Like so before you go into TSA, when you're dropping off,
right.
When you're meandering, enjoying all the overpriced food before you go through screening, mm-hmm. you can still pack over mm-hmm. there, which is nice. Let's see. This law is touted as expanding gun rights for those citizens who have gone through background checks and played by the rules. The NRA has touted this as the most comprehensive gun bill in state history. The legislation was opposed by Georgia law enforcement, county commissioners, municipal leaders, and the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, for its potentially harmful impact on Georgian safety. All right, now before when I decided to go with this story at the end of last week, I didn't know that there was going to be a Georgian shooting up a FedEx building in Georgia.
That's incredible.
Well, we're very influential. We don't get the credit. We make news. They know. Georgia knew we were going to cover this. Like, you know what? Let's go to FedEx and shoot some folks.
Yeah, okay. Get out there and prove the point.
So I'll ask you guys. Are you guys surprised in the wake of that? Well, this happened before. The Mystic School Connecticut shooting. Fort Hood. Various malls. Movie theaters. And the outcry for all these stricter gun laws. That we're seeing the opposite of that. Is anybody surprised by this?
No, I'm not surprised about it, and I think it's high time we do something about it, and I'll tell you why. It looks like this pattern of these people that are mentally deranged or whatever getting guns and shooting places up is not going to stop. And I think it gets to a point where responsible citizens should be armed to protect themselves in a case that situation should arise. If there was somebody with a gun at that FedEx building, this guy could have been stopped. Possibly.
So you want a shootout? You want a shootout in a FedEx building?
I want the situation to be over immediately. But if you don't have the means to protect yourself, it's not going to happen.
You can have armed security guards. You can hire security guards at these buildings.
Sometimes they're not around.
No. You hire them, so they're around. Really? That's what you pay for. Yes, really. That's what can be done.
There's situations where
where can we not have an armed security guard? First of all, it's kind of scary that we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
And perhaps we wouldn't have all these shootings if people didn't have such easy access to guns.
Mm-hmm.
If they cut the easy access to guns. Now, it's a twofold thing here where they're touting people can carry guns. However, gun sales without gun, like what are they doing? Internet gun sales or gun show checks without security checks. That's something where it's
though that the other Western countries, other Western democracies that don't have free access to guns, they don't have the shootings, and they're just increasing more and more these shootings.
You do realize if somebody's going to start to shoot and have a situation, they're going to do it when an armed guard is not around. And if there's a situation where there's an armed guard around...
if they're crazy, they don't care about an armed guard. They're just crazy. They did it in a fort, for God's sakes!
Because none of the soldiers are allowed to be armed.
Doesn't that tell you something, though?
Yes, they know. They know. We don't even want our army walking around with this shit.
What it tells you is if they were allowed the soldiers to carry guns or some of them,
Have you ever looked into the eyes of some of these soldiers? Have you seen the deranged, what war does to people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of impairs judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, there was an outcry. The point was there was an outcry after all this.
Yes.
That, and most of the nation wants stronger gun laws. It was like 90%,
mm-hmm.
which is for this nation to agree on anything is
really unusual.
But the fact of the matter is, there's a big lobby that's paying for all this because they had a pastor on there. He's like, we never asked for anybody to allow guns in churches. We didn't have an outcry for this.
But it's their discretion to allow them. They're giving the church, those churches
the discretion.
I understand
that. But you talk about the churches have other issues on their mind that they would like. They have social issues that they want to help people with, and homelessness, that type of thing. But no, instead we're getting these type of bills passed.
He had a really funny line in there. He's like, we want the sign of the peace, P-E-A-C-E, not pass the peace.
Yes. And also, it shows how in the pocket both sides are when you have the leading gubernatorial candidate for the governor, the Democrat,
right?
When he's going, this is great. Because there's no difference between the right and the left anymore, because they're all bought and paid for by the same people.
Well, we're talking about Georgia. It is kind of a different world there, in the sense that they are more still involved in the war. And still thinking, at any time we have to take back our freedom from...
Or own a basketball team. Those are your options.
But if you're a law-abiding citizen that plays by the rules, takes a gun responsibility course, gets registered, has a background check,
and then
why aren't you allowed to protect yourself?
That woman in Mystic, the mother of that guy who killed everybody, she passed all the tests, Joe. But you know what? When she's inside her own house, she's leaving the guns out, and the lunatic kid is getting them.
And maybe if somebody else who had a gun at the school, they could have taken that kid out before he killed a lot of people.
Or maybe more kids would have died in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't happen? Everybody's a marksman?
Everybody.
I didn't know everybody who shot a gun is a sniper.
If you're armed, if you have a couple of people armed, the odds of somebody even attempting to do that.
You want teachers walking around with guns in school? School is supposed to be a place where you're safe. School's supposed to be...
That's not the way it is anymore.
Well, then hire police. Hire law enforcement. Stop cutting
that's
the government.
That's going to cost
money.
Yes,
it is.
And then it's... Well, I guess we'll just print more money and we'll figure out how not the taxes will go through the roof.
Well, there's certain things you have to pay for, Joe.
No,
if you want to live in a safe society.
That thinking is killing this country where everybody
is
just raise taxes, raise tolls. Well, that's what you got to pay for. No, we got to put our foot down with everybody. Well, we'll just do this. We'll do this. If you're a responsible person and you pass the laws, that woman,
What is responsible?
A responsible person that passes a background check, that knows gun safety, that knows how to appreciate guns, and that uses guns responsibly. Okay? And there's a lot of people out there. A lot of them. You can laugh because everybody
there
laughs.
But there are.
It's this left wing thinking that that people don't realize that a lot of people are certified to handle guns and use guns responsibly.
I feel safer in Canada when I'm in Canada and I'm walking in those crappy neighborhoods because that's where I play. But I walk in a crappy neighborhood in Canada. I feel safer in a neighborhood in Canada, and probably I would in Australia, though I've never been there, because they don't have the gun access.
Right.
Everybody wants to be a cowboy. We're all cowboys. Fact of the matter is, most people who have a gun don't know how to shoot it. That's why kids get shot at home.
No, because kids get shot at home. Kids get shot at home because a lot of these gun acts of violence happen in the hood and all this.
No, because your responsible gun owners think that they've unloaded their gun and locked it up in a safe place, but they're so responsible that they have it. Or they hear a knock at the door and they think it's a burglar, but it's little Susie coming in late at night.
Or it's what was that, the Olympian, the girlfriend?
Pistoris. What's his name? Pistoris.
Pistoris.
Yeah.
Well,
that was murder.
Yeah, that was murder.
Come on.
That was murder. He murdered.
Somebody broke into his bathroom, and he had to fend himself from the toilet bowl.
Come on. No time to put on my legs for this.
But I can get my gun.
If it's gun or legs, get legs.
But a good defense.
I can use that. I use every five acting lesson. How am I going to get out of here? I'm going to fall down like a...
If he was
help!
He should have shot the person in the model in the leg to make it a fair fight. Now neither one of us can walk. It's now we mud wrestle.
I fall and I can only reach my piece. Now, you know what scares me is that they're saying here that people would be allowed to bring their guns into bars.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that one in particular.
Because we never make bad decisions or have impaired judgment when the alcohol is flowing. We're all at our best in that situation.
But that's the discretion of the – I think that's also at the discretion of the establishment.
All these are at the discretion. But here's the thing. If all of a sudden the bar across the street, if this is a big gun neighborhood, the bar across the street lets you have it and you really don't want to let them have it, but you're going to lose business, everybody's going to bow to the almighty dollar. I mean, it's just a stupid. It's a stupid idea. We bang people we wouldn't normally bang. Now we're gonna bang people because they piss us off.
Well,
you can't even shoot. You go home with ugly people when you're in a bar because you're not looking clearly. Now you want to let them have a gun because they spilled a drink on you? You can't defend that.
I just remember a story in Texas where a guy went into a bar in Texas and he pulls out a gun and goes, "This is a hold." That's as far as he got. They didn't even know. They didn't know who the hell shot him because there were so many bullets in him.
Yeah, those stories do happen.
Yeah, they do.
They do happen, but they're few. They're much more few and far between than our mass killings now.
Well, Tom in the chat is saying, "How about the fact that these shootings are all happening in quote unquote gun free zones? You know that is a scary thing.
What, as opposed to a rifle range?
No. Well, you know, I mean, like if you have a school." And it's supposed to be a gun-free area. I mean, it's coming to the point now where we should have, like, you know, gun screening equipment in front in the school doorways. We're just going to have to do that because otherwise there is no guarantee that we have to do that.
Because there's so many guns
yes,
around.
Yes.
That's why we have to do that.
But that's why I wouldn't want that. The
amendment was created for the militia. We've discussed this for years on this show.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, we're not. If the U.S. Government wants to take us all out, and the Army agrees with that, you can have all the guns in the world. You can have like our pal Kumia and have all the guns in the world. They got stealth. They got. We're done. It's over.
Yeah.
We can't defend against that. That's what the amendment was made, it was because everybody was on a level playing field.
Right.
The government army had a musket. You had a musket. It's a different.
But one of the reasons that amendment was created was even so is that they wanted to make sure that governments didn't get full of tyranny and stuff
right,
like that.
Right. It makes sense at the time.
And there's sometimes you got to stand up to the. Now there was no violence, but there was that thing in Nevada. Where the government, there was a standoff with the government.
Yes, yes. The government came to collect taxes from a man who hadn't paid them for 20 years and didn't recognize the United States government to exist, and the militia's friends were up on top of overpasses with snipers. Yes, what an excellent idea with their rifles and trained. Yes, that didn't escalate issues.
No, but you know what?
Pay your taxes, stupid!
No, it's, sometimes the government gets out of hand and they need to be shown.
That was a lousy example.
Basically what it was is they were trying to have fees on take this guy's land.
You know who signed that into law? Ronald Reagan by executive order.
All righty. Well, maybe that, I'm not saying that. Well, because I'm a Republican, I think it's the greatest idea.
Glenn Beck says it makes sense. He owns cattle. He goes, "This is the way it is." He thought the guy was wrong. It was Fox News just trying to blow this guy. Oh, this is our guy until he became a racist douchebag, and then Hannity couldn't backpedal out of there enough. Let me get your Bundy cock out of my mouth and go back to my little studio.
But it gets to a point where the government pushes and pushes and pushes.
And you're going to shoot them?
No, but you want to know something? If they know that people are armed. Mm-hmm. All right, and even though
they're not afraid of us being armed.
Look, this is the real world. This is the real world. This is not like this whole social, you know, thing that we. Oh well, you know, this is the real world, and the real world's thing is you are not armed or in a position to defend yourself. People are going to take advantage of you.
Yeah, but you're not defending yourself from the government. You got to get that out of your head.
Yeah, you are because the government pushes. You don't think that they're trying to screw everybody
over?
No,
what I'm telling you is, if the government wants to take you out, they can take you out. They don't even have to show up.
Let me tell you something.
You see that little blackbird, as you like to say when you play your general, McIvy? They got that shit.
You want
to
know something though? You take out enough people, and you that are trying to infringe on your land or whatever. And then people start to think, you know what?
Well, your guy Bundy was a lousy example of that. That wasn't eminent domain.
The thing is that the reason that they wanted people to have being armed and have a militia is just in case the government gets out of hand. And the government is getting out of hand with a lot of stuff.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So the reason that if the people are armed.
Yes, but you're not going to have a revolt and take them over.
You might.
No, you're never
going to. You might. You
really?
Might.
Really? Really? Is Ted Nugent going to leave the
no,
Wang Dang, Sweet Putang, we take over the White House?
It could escalate to that point. And let me tell you something.
And you think that's going
to
be safe?
You want to know something? I'd rather have a gun. And you're talking about. And let me tell you something about guns. Well, this is guns. And, you know, guns kill people. My father patted me on the head, drove a mile down the road, shot my dog, and blew his noggin off with a shotgun. And I still feel that you have the right to own a gun and be responsible.
Yeah, but here we go. Here was a licensed gun owner. Who was a quote a responsible gun owner who apparently had some type of mental illness mm-hmm. that couldn't be picked up. Fortunately, and I say this as a horror, fortunately he only killed himself and the dog instead of you and your mom.
Let me tell you something. There was my mom told me there might have been an instance where he was going to
right,
take
but this
all
is,
out.
But this is your responsible gun owner. This is your guy playing by the rules. He fucking snapped. People snap.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So we can't have. So you're normal today, But tomorrow, shit might hit the fans. A synapse might burn out or something, and you're not thinking straight, and you make a horrible decision. That's what happens with these things. That's why we can't have...
But I was...
The day before your father did what he did, you probably would have sworn if, you know, this joke could go back, my dad's normal, he got his shit together, everything's going to be...
He would have jumped... You're in that state of mind. You would have jumped in front of a building. You would have rammed your car into a train. You would have done...
Exactly.
Done it.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my point.
The kid last week with the knife. Should we? You know what? I want cutlery outlawed, because somebody could get a knife, and somebody could kill somebody
with
a knife.
Listen, it's a lot harder to take out 20 people with a knife than it is with a gun. It is.
You want to know something? If somebody comes at me with a knife, I want something to defend myself. You know,
when
if
have you
take,
ever been attacked with a gun?
Well, let me tell you something. If that day would come, you would...
But when have you?
That day you would be attacked with a gun, you'd probably be wishing you had a sidearm yourself.
But I've never been attacked with a gun.
You never know. That day could come.
Have you ever been attacked by a gun?
No.
So we got close to 150 years of living on this earth. None of us have ever been attacked with this gun in this big, dangerous place.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, no, but you know, but to be fair, we don't exactly, we are people, are privileged people, because we live in the suburbs. We move in areas which are much safer than where a lot of other people live.
Like the Clippers press box.
You know, so I mean, we're not
just a chandelier, isn't it?
Ah, I don't need a gun here. This is safe. Thank you, Donald Sterling.
Look at the water fountain, whites only. This is the place.
Unfortunately, for 30 years before this season, that was most of his team, which is why they've been the worst team for 30 years. He has the worst winning percentage in all of sports from the four major sports. But he does over the past 30 years.
Pardon my ears. There's mostly white people on that team?
No, I don't know. But
no,
okay.
But
But his two best players, well, I mean, it's the NBA. Most of the best players are black, but, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, I buy them houses. Do you?
Yeah.
And they make you relevant so you can have your hot black Mexican girlfriend.
Bastard.
Anyway.
Well, one of the things that really struck me in this article, it's just like, it's just the way the government works. It's like, you know, everybody here is, well, I mean, there are places where it's at your discretion whether guns are allowed in those places or not. But tellingly, the guns are not allowed in the state capitol building.
Because somebody might want to shoot a politician.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? I wish they would change that for that simple reason.
Mm-hmm.
Where these guys are crooks, they're thieves, they're liars, and maybe if they knew that people were armed coming to visit, they'd have their crap together.
But that is one thing that goes against the argument. I know what you're saying is that, you know, we like to think that as a country, if the government gets so out of control that we can rise up against them. But Davin has a good point. They have a lot more of the chips on their corner. We don't have tanks. We don't have, you know, and
we don't have an air force.
We don't. Yeah, we don't have the armed forces.
Joker, look
against
in my backyard. I want you to see my new aircraft carrier.
And they, you know, it's like as much as we would be able to cause skirmishes and cause problems and maybe open some eyes, we wouldn't win that war.
But you give the government an inch, they take a mile.
But yes. And our recourse is to vote them out.
Right.
That's our defense, to vote them out. Unfortunately, there's so much money into it now, we can't. Thank you.
There's so much money. Basically,
thank you, Robert Supreme Court.
Right, and it's just as a dirty a system as it is with the lobbyists.
Well, all right, here's your argument, though, because, you know, you figure guns will help you, so I'll give you one right now. Now they allow guns in church, right?
In some
if
churches.
The church is allowed, I think it gives the altar boys a fighting chance.
Yes.
Yes. Back off, Padre. Well, if you want to get a piece of this, you're going to get a piece of this.
But I also think that if you are, you know, you're going to have your nuts. I mean, I'm not even kidding.
But
in most situations with a robber or a rapist or somebody, you know, if you know that you're in a situation where possibly a few people are armed, you'll think twice about doing something.
But I think people...
Rational people.
That's the point. I don't think most rational people do these atrocities.
Right. But right. Your nut is going to do it, whether people are armed.
Right, so you're not really stopping anything.
Yeah, you are, because you have a fighting chance. Because if you're armed, at least you have a chance of taking the guy out. If you're unarmed, you're done.
But it fails to look at the fact that most people who have a weapon aren't proficient shooters. Your pal goes to the range all the time, so we'll assume he's pretty good.
Yeah,
we'll assume he's pretty good. But most people, they get it. You know, they use it at first. and then it kind of collects dust. It's up in case a robber comes in. Right. I mean, you don't, do you want these people bringing it to the post office, God forbid, and some postal worker goes nuts, and this person who never uses a gun is right. now shoot is right. crossfire, and you all get right. all these people shot.
Well, okay, it's not a perfect world, and situations like this arise. You want 20 people dead or 3 people dead?
What?
Yeah.
Well, I would argue if there's more guns that there's a more increased chance of more people dying.
No, if you have people that are unarmed and defenseless, you're going to have a lot more people dying. Somebody's going
to if you have two people who don't know what the hell they're doing shooting.
A situation like that. You have.
So why don't you have a gun?
Why don't I have a gun?
That's the question.
Why don't I have a gun? Because basically, I am a person. I don't feel I should have a gun. I don't feel I'm rational enough to have a gun.
It's probably the most rational thing you've ever said.
That's actually a very honest answer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel
but,
like...
But so you're self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are not self-aware.
No,
That's the problem.
I realize you're not
qualified or capable, and I would agree. but it's a very self-aware statement. It's actually very intelligent.
I've known one or two cops in my day that I don't think should have been able to pass their psych exam.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are boys.
And it scares me that that's a person that's in a position of power... And is allowed to carry a gun 24/7. That scares me because there's somebody that passed the psych exam. They're being paid to carry that around, and it's like you're a scary creature. It's possible to do that.
You're a scary creature.
No, they are, and I am a little on the fence about this issue because I admit that if my home was being broken into,
you would want a gun.
I would want a gun.
That's why I have an aluminum bat by my bed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't. I want to be able
and
to defend myself, but I also don't think that I should
be
a gun.
Rub against them to death.
Two tails just
kill a cat.
I'm just throwing the HIV cat at him and telling him. Here goes
the HIV cat.
Scratch him in the veins.
Scratch him. Bite.
Over the wrist.
Bite.
You're going to steal my jewelry? Yeah, but now you have feline AIDS. How do you feel about that? Yeah, see if you're going to be able to bang other cats. I don't think so.
Throw the HIV cat.
Quick. Ow. Leukemia cat.
Back him up, lymphoma cat. And you with the legs. Here. Three legs.
This one's got ticks.
Hospice kitties unite.
This one has mange. There you go.
I was puking up a hairball.
That's just gross. All right, let's go to break on that. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on extremejams.com. That's extremejamz.com. WKAD Radio, Wicked, Clutch and Wiggle, CyanetRadio.com, TalkSuperStation.com, The Juggernaut, MacDaddyRadio.com, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, DavinsDen.com. TheIndieAuthority.com also has apps so you can listen live on all mobile platforms, including BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. If you miss Tuesday night's show, you can download the show at any time on DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, PodAlmighty.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm. Scammer clips are available on iHeart or DavinsDen.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.